we have the lovely Emily sharing this evening. I thought, Emily, do you maybe want to say who you are, what you do, and maybe a fun fact about yourself, so if anyone doesn't know who you are, they can get to know you?
So who am I? I am Emily, like you said. I am a student, second year biomed. What were the other questions?
Maybe a fun fact about yourself? Or something cool you've done in the last week, or anything.
Okay. I haven't really done anything that interesting. I suppose a fun fact is I work at Specsavers. Is that fun? I guess that's fun.
I think that's pretty cool. I actually asked Emily a question when we met up last week. I was like, the doctor said this about my eyes. Can you tell me what that means, please? Because when I Googled, it said I might have a brain tumour, which thankfully Emily confirmed. That was just the American Google scaring me. So we're all good. But yeah, you're chatting on prayer this evening. So yeah, I thought, well, this whole evening is called What Happens When We Pray. So let's just get straight into it. What happens when we pray?
Well, anything can happen, but not anything will. So I did Google. Speaking of stupid American Google.
Oh no, sorry Skylar, I just saw you at the back, sorry.
And Ivy, we've got two representatives.
Oh, and Ivy. Sorry guys.
So yeah, I Googled literally what happens when we pray. I thought that would be a good start. And the AI generated answer was develop a relationship with God, feel more connected to God, experience positive feelings, find comfort and guidance, open the door to God's intervention. So I think, unlike your Google, it sounds quite accurate. So yeah,
anything
can happen.
Yeah, that's really beautiful. And I think I love that like prayer is just like, that's something that can grow our relationship with God. Because we had the Alpha Day and a couple of the students asked, what is prayer? Like, how do I pray? And it's just like having a conversation with God, isn't it? Would you say it's just like, you can just chat to him? Would you say that's what prayer is like?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Just like having a conversation with a friend.
Yeah.
Definitely, yeah.
That's good. And are there any like examples in history where maybe a group of Christians or people have been praying and then they've actually seen like an answer to the prayer happening, like in history?
Yes. So this book, it's called How to Pray, which I thought, again, that was a good start for this talk. So I bought this book, and in it, I heard about a story that I've only heard since reading that book. And I'm assuming most people here will have heard about Dunkirk and kind of everything that happened there. There's a good film that came out that has... Has it got Harry Styles in it?
I was like, when you said it, I was like, Harry Styles, and I was like, wait, I think we're thinking about the other thing.
It's the same thing. So if there's a picture on the screen, maybe.
If not, maybe you can pray. And then maybe it...
There we go.
Guys, it worked.
It's magic.
God still answers prayer.
So this is a picture of people queuing up outside one church in particular. But this happened all around the country, when Winston Churchill and Lord Halifax, who was nicknamed Holy Fox, which I thought that was quite a fun fact, they called for a day of prayer for this Dunkirk mission because it seemed impossible. They had 500,000 soldiers stranded on Dunkirk Beach, and the Germans were bombing them and killing hundreds of people through their aeroplanes, and there was no way that they could escape. There were soldiers on one side, the stranded Allied troops, and then the sea. So there was nowhere they could go. And there were 500,000 people stranded here. So they had hoped for 10% to be rescued from the sea by the big naval ships. But after this day of prayer, an unprecedented storm rolled in. No one had expected it. It wasn't kind of foreseen on any of the weather watching things, and that meant that the Luftwaffe had been grounded, so there was no bombing anymore, so the soldiers could queue up along the beaches, and it enabled hundreds of private vessels and fishing vessels and just kind of personal boats to sail across the channel and rescue all these soldiers. And in the end they rescued 330,000. So they'd hoped to rescue 50,000, 10% of the number that was stranded, and they rescued 330,000 in the end. And I mean, whilst God doesn't necessarily choose sides in war, I definitely think that National Day of Prayer, with the hundreds of people queuing up to pray in churches, that definitely played a role in the success of this mission.
Wow, that's incredible. I had no idea about that.
It's not talked about. And
no.
Yeah, that secularism, I guess. It's, yeah.
And we were chatting a bit when we went for coffee earlier on this week, and about how, like, with the prayer meetings we've been having and praying for the city and praying for Jamie, obviously, like, we've seen God answering those prayers too. I think Jamie shared in a video update at the church meeting, he was saying that he'd had this, like, internal bleeding and they couldn't locate when it was, but it was the minute that the church started gathering to pray, because an email was sent out and everyone kind of really got their prayer warriors, we all got praying. And it was at that moment that the bleeding significantly slowed down, and you're just like, whoa. Like, hearing stories like this, it's just encouraging, isn't it? But, I mean, when you hear answers like this of how it saved all these people's lives, it seems like a good thing to pray. But other than, like, helping to save people, why is it important to pray?
Well, because I think prayer is a gift from God, and God likes to spend time with us. He made us and he loves us, and it's great to spend time with him, especially in difficult times. He likes to walk with us through those difficult times, but he also likes to celebrate with us in times of gladness. As Rabbi Heschel said, prayer is our humble answer to the inconceivable surprise of living. And I think we kind of often forget how amazing it is that we actually exist, just full stop. It's so incredible that we are here. And I think just kind of saying thank you to God sometimes is a great, great way to shift your focus. It's also, it is a fact that you become most like the five people that you spend the most time with. And I think it's good to become like Jesus. I want to be more like Jesus. I'm sure a lot of you want to be more like Jesus. And by spending more time with him, we are gradually going to become more like him. And that can only be a good thing. So, yeah.
Yeah, I love that. But you kind of said as well that you can just, when you're praying, you can thank God. But what happens when we get to those times when it's really, really difficult and you just don't even know what to say? How do you pray when you get to those times?
So Jesus himself told us how to pray. So if you turn to Matthew 6, or I think it's in other Gospels as well, but you'll find the Lord's Prayer. You might know that off by heart anyway. And that kind of, that gives a guideline, a set of instructions of how to pray. So former Archbishop Justin Welby, I had to remember to say the former in that, because all the things I looked at, it still said Archbishop. I was like, no, he stood down. But he said that the Lord's Prayer is simple enough to be memorized by children, but it's powerful enough to sustain a whole lifetime of prayer. That's how powerful the Lord's Prayer actually is. So there's four steps that the Lord's Prayer goes through, those being adoration, praying for God's will to be done, petition, and confession and forgiveness. So starting off with adoration, it's an invitation to a level of intimacy with God. And this is something that would have been brand new at the time that Jesus was speaking. They would never have pictured that level of intimacy, calling God the Father and kind of visualizing him as that father figure. That was a new thing. It's important that you do remember it's not just a big scary man in the sky. He is God the Father, and he stands there waiting for you to come home, and he wants to spend time with you, and he stands there arms open wide, and it's our privilege to ask him of what we need and to spend time with him and to believe wholeheartedly, if I ask, I will receive. We are called to have faith like a child. It says it in Matthew and in Mark, I think. And please do ask me about that afterwards, because I gave another talk on childlike faith, and it's really interesting. So do, I'll go off on a spiel if I don't sort myself there, but do ask me about that. Secondly, praying for God's will. He does have the best plan. Sometimes it seems like he's left, or sometimes it seems like we know best, but ultimately God does have the best plan. And I try to, whenever I pray, I'm like, this is what I want, God, this is what I think I need, this is how I'd like this situation to go. And then I'm like, wait, hang on, no, your will be done. And that's important to remember. Always come back to, yeah, your will be done, God. And that's, it's hard to remember, but it's important. But that being said, it's also important to ask for what we need. So I have some friends back home who are from Nigeria originally, and they pray for everything. They don't have the privilege that we do of having electricity every day at the flick of a button. They don't necessarily have water or food. They don't know where the next meal is coming from all the time. In this country, we're in a massive privileged position that we can get those things. Even if we are struggling financially or if there's a power cut, we still have access to help where we need it somewhere. So it kind of, if we forget that those things aren't just here all the time, if he wanted to, God could take them all away straight away. So by asking for things, even just thanking God that the lights came on today, just small things like that, it reminds us that nothing's permanent. It shifts our perspective and helps acknowledge the role that God plays in our lives. He is the God of provision, and we need to thank him for that. But also just asking for things, it does help. And then finally, probably the hardest one is confession and forgiveness. We are called to seek forgiveness, but to do this, we need to acknowledge our sins, and that can be really hard to do. But by admitting our sins, that helps us to know what they are and how we can deal with them. It's one of the first steps to repentance and right relationship with God. And he wants us to talk to him about the struggles that we have. It doesn't matter what we've done. And a quote from this book that I've been thinking about a lot, and I really have enjoyed recently, is there's more grace in God than sin in you. No matter what you've done, no matter how big, there's more grace in God. And if you come to him and just seek repentance and, you know, apologize for what you've done, then he will show you grace.
That's really beautiful. I love that. What was it? Can you just repeat it again so we can remember that?
There is more grace in God than sin in you.
I love that. It's a good reminder. You need that sometimes, don't you? If you mess up or if you feel like you've done something or let someone down, just hearing that and just being reminded of that truth is really, really beautiful. So I just got another question. What does the Bible say about waiting in times of affliction?
Yes, so that's a big question, isn't it?
It is a big question.
It is. It's a hard thing. We're told to pray without ceasing. That might be on the screen. I can't remember if I put that one on. Maybe. Maybe not. Never mind. I think it's Philippians. Is that Philippians? I don't know.
I have no idea.
I can't remember now.
I know which one you're on about, but I have no clue where it is.
So yeah, we're called to pray without ceasing, especially when things get difficult. You know, keep praying, keep fixing your eyes on God. And things might not get easier in the situation, but in your mind and in your heart, things will get easier. I know that when I've been in difficult situations and I've turned to prayer, immediately you feel peace, and it shifts your perspective from yourself to God, and God is great. So it takes your mind off the difficult situation that you're in.
Yeah. And I think that's really helpful to that verse you said about praying without ceasing, and just how God will often give us his peace in difficult situations. But it can be really difficult sometimes, because if God isn't answering our prayer, it's really tricky to wrap our heads around. I think this is something, to be honest, I've struggled with the last couple of months, because I'm seeing what God is doing here in Lancaster and through Hope Church and through Jamie especially. And when I know there are so many people praying for Jamie and I know that God is so for Jamie, I'm like, God, why hasn't anything changed? Like, obviously, we've seen so many answer prayers, and sometimes I have to stop myself and be like, am I being really ungrateful for what God has done? But I'm just a bit like, why aren't you answering these prayers straight away that Jamie would be healed? And that can be something really, really difficult to wrap our heads around, and also at the same time keep the faith, keep believing that God can and God might do those things. But I guess one question is, like, when will God answer those prayers? I guess we don't really know, but do we know when God will answer these things that we pray for?
Well, no, I don't know.
Oh, man.
Ultimately, well, Revelation, I love Revelation, it's a great book, very interesting. But an interesting kind of thought, can't remember where I read it, but ultimately all of our prayers will be answered in the new heaven and the new earth. And that might seem like a long time to wait. And here on earth now, it is a long time to wait, because that's like eternity. But when eternity comes here, when it's here and we're living it, then, you know, it's not that long, and all of our prayers will be answered, and we will we will have the answer to those prayers. All pain will be gone, all suffering will have ended, and yeah, we just need to keep praying for those things. But for the here and now, I don't know when God will answer questions. I have asked myself the same thing. Often I turn to God when I'm struggling with something and I'm like, oh God, why haven't you done this? Why haven't you done that? Why haven't you healed this person? Why haven't you saved this person? You know, we're all praying for the Holy Spirit to break through. Why hasn't this person found Jesus when I've been praying for them their whole life so far? And why do you not seem to care? And I've asked God this so many times, more times than I care to admit, because it's a bit harsh sometimes, but why does God not seem to care? But he does care. He cares more than you know. And he has the best plan. He has a better plan than you could ever imagine. He works on things in the best way possible. He provides answers to questions that you never had to ask. He's working constantly in situations that you didn't know you needed him in and you didn't notice him in. And sometimes the answer that we don't necessarily hear, but sometimes the answer is yes, but not yet. And that's really hard to remember when you're in difficult situations. But God's timeline is the best timeline. And sometimes it's hard to remember that. Sometimes it's hard to notice when God is in situations, but also you need to notice him in the details. I know for me, I always pray when I'm struggling to see God in a situation. I'm kind of, oh yeah, God, you know, I know you're here, but I don't know where you are. I can't see you right now in this situation, but I want to see you. I need to see you for my own good, because this is stressing me out right now. I can't explain what's happening. And yeah, for me, I've told a couple of people about this, and it's interesting because it works in different ways for different people. So some people feel peace when God's with them. Sometimes it feels like a hand on the shoulder. Sometimes it's a sign of some other kind. For me, it's always been rabbits. So for the first time it happened was during my A-levels, when I was really stressed about one of my exams that didn't go well in the end, but you know, that doesn't matter. And I was just like, oh God, please show me that you're here with me in this exam and that things will work out okay, because I'm really, really stressed and I don't know what to do. And I was walking to my exam and I turned a corner and there were 30 rabbits just like out across this massive field. I've never seen rabbits there before. I've never seen them there since. There were literally 30 of them just jumping around, eating the grass or whatever. And I was like, okay, this is weird, but I guess this is you, God. And since then, there's been multiple situations where rabbits have popped up. A couple of weeks ago, I got some bad news, and I went up to Willie P, Williamson Park. So yeah, I'd gone up there. It was about midnight, and I was just walking along, and I was praying, and I was like, yeah, God, I can't see you in the situation. Where are you? And I heard this weird noise, and then I saw something run really quickly along the grass, like super fast. I barely even saw it. And then I turned a corner, and there was a rabbit sat there. Never seen a rabbit up at Williamson Park before. I saw a rabbit up there, and then it just sat there eating the grass. And rabbits aren't nocturnal, so it was weird that it was out at midnight. Never seen rabbits up there. I'm sure they live up there, but I've never seen one. So that was confirmation for me that God was with me in that situation.
I love that. And that's really cool. And I think it would be good maybe if just now in our, if we just chat on our little corner things, maybe just ask, kind of like you were saying, Emily, like for you, when you've asked God to show himself, you've just like seen rabbits or something. For me, like I had like some really awful news, and I remember my mum pointing out the skies was like so grey, but there was like a tiny bit of blue popping out, and she was like, I feel like God's just reminding us that even though right now like there's so much going wrong, like there is a little glimmer of hope in it, kind of thing. And anytime something wrong's gone on, there have been so many times I've like been reminded of what mum said, and I've seen like a little tiny bit of blue in the sky, and I'm like, oh, okay, God's got this. And it sometimes it might seem like silly reminders, like rabbit or a little bit of blue sky, but actually this can really encourage you, can't it? But yeah, maybe have a little chat for like 5-10 minutes of the different ways, maybe when you've prayed and you've seen God come through, or you've just felt him close with you. If you've got any questions, ask Emily or ask the people on your table. And then we'll do a Slido Q&A at the end as well, and then we'll have a bit of worship. But yeah, thank you, Emily. That was brilliant.